agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets today are called mostly steady, but there are a few firm undertones on buying interest for additional loads for Saturday or early next week. Terminals are called mostly steady in a very light volume test, with tops from $26 to $29. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $26. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, January 18th, negotiated swine purchases were 18,585. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $36.50 to $49. The weighted average was 45.24, a gain of $1.08 from Wednesday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $29.80 to $37.29, and the weighted average was $35.47. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $23,275. The base price range was $37 to $51. The weighted average was $47.83, a loss of 35 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $30.04 to $40. And the weighted average was $37.84. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Scott Althoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much. Well, in Brazil, scattered showers occurred in about 50% of the Brazil summer crop region Thursday. Rain totals were rarely more than 3/4 inch, although more than 1 inch occurred in southern Mato Grosso do Sul and Rio Grande do Sul, and far northeastern Brazil were the driest. High temperatures were in the 80s and lower 90s. And no tremendous changes have occurred in Brazil's two-week forecast today. All areas in the nations get rain at one time or another, and no region will be considered too dry. Net drying is expected in the far south beginning late this weekend and continued through the 27th, but rain returns to the region at the end of the month. Temperatures will change little, with most highs off in the 80s and lower 90s, with a few upper 70s in central and southern areas. In Argentina, thunderstorms occurred overnight from Cordoba through Santa Fe to Entre Rios. Amounts range from 4/10 of an inch, most often with a few locations in central Santa Fe to the west central Entre Rios border, receiving 1 to 1.5 inches. Coverage is around 35% of the crop country. High temperature mostly in the 80s with a few lower 90s. Argentina's weather outlook is wetter today than of Thursday morning. Some of the change was already suggested at midday yesterday, and thunderstorms that occurred overnight last night will linger longer than expected today, adding rain and further improving soil moisture. Slow-moving thunderstorms next week will generate rain in nearly 65% of the nation. Rainfall next week could end up being locally greater as well because of the slow movement in the disturbance generating the precipitation. Dry weather occur the 25th and the 26th before another slow moving disturbance brings rain across the nation between the 27th and the 1st. Now, the recent behavior in rainfall has put the various computer model errors in looking at those more carefully, and looks like the computer models have not been doing very well. So that means that a more favorable state for generating rain is anticipated for Argentina. No more crop stress like that of December is anticipated, at least not until the first few days of February. Rainfall may be less than usual at times, but will occur often enough to support crops in a favorable manner. Temperatures will be seasonable over the next week to 10 days. Highs in the 80s and lower 90s will occur most often, and there'll be a few pockets of dryness out there, but the situation will be far from crisis. In the U.S. Midwest, snow could do Thursday across much of the Midwest, where heavy snowfall from the falling fell from extreme northeast Iowa to Wisconsin, where 2 to 8 inches was reported. Moisture totals were anywhere from 1/10 to 3/10 of an inch. Southwest to central Indiana received 1/2 inch to 3 inches of snow, while central and northern Illinois and Indiana received a trace to up to 1/2 inch. High temperatures were in the single digits and teens in the northwest, and 20s and 30s elsewhere. Bitter cold temperatures will be felt across much of the Midwest beginning tonight. Lows will drop from 20 to 30 below this weekend in some locations in the far northwest. The southernmost extent of the 0-degree line for the next 3 mornings will run from the northeast corner of Kansas through central Illinois to northern Ohio. Single digits and teen lows will occur farther south of this line. Snow cover is limited in the heart of the Midwest, and some crops will see temperatures near the damage threshold by late in the weekend. Some winter kill is possible, although sufficiently hardened crops and abundant soil moisture will help plants deal with extreme cold a little better than they otherwise would have. Light snow showers will occur today with the approach of the Arctic front. The only area that will see temperatures cold enough to threaten soft wheat may be lacking in snow cover after today is from east central Missouri through central Illinois to central Indiana. Some minor damage may occur in the region, but crop has likely been sufficiently hardened to prevent serious damage, although there's abundant of moisture in the ground, which is liable to help produce ice around the crown most of wheat plants, which should help provide a little protection against extreme cold. Additional snow is expected Sunday through Tuesday in much of the Midwest. Areas from South Dakota to Michigan and southward, snowfall amounts of 1 to 3 inches will be common with locally more. A few more days of mostly tranquil weather will follow with occasional snow showers occurring. And the next significant storm system will affect the region January 28th through the 30th. Confidence is pretty low right now on the timing and track of this storm system, but the resulting precipitation should be widespread. That's your growing areas weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Oltoff.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 981.5 unchanged, last trade up a quarter. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 940.25, down a quarter, last trade down 1.5. July, 861.5, down 2.5, last trade down 5.5. March corn opened at $5.75, down 1.25, last trade down 5. July, 523.25, down 2, last trade down 5. December, 518.25, down 2.75, last trade down 5. March beans opened at 1265.25, down 5.75, last trade down 9.5. July, 1298.25, down 6.75, last trade down 9.5. November, 1265.75, down 4.25, last trade down 10.5. March soybean meal open at 342.80, down 150, last trade down $5. March soybean oil open at 52.90, down 1, last trade up 3. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
The overnight in the December corn futures contract came within a penny of filling the gap left over from last Friday's big up move. We're going to fill that gap in the day session?
I would assume we will. The market's gotten overbought, Dave. We ran up pretty hard on the way. We didn't have such a good day yesterday. It certainly started out looking like we were going to have a very good day. But then the failure to hold those gains in both the corn and the beans, well, in the wheat, as far as that's concerned, it was up limit at one point, leads towards people taking a little bit more profits off the table. I guess the corn would not really be a big concern to me, even if it does fill that gap. I don't think that's a big deal. If we should trade back down and fill the gap that was left before that and drop even further, I tend to think then I might start to get a little bit concerned on this marketplace. But, you know, you go back through 475 or something like that, and now I start to get a little bit worried about this marketplace and the way it's stacking up today. You've got some rain in the forecast for Argentina. We had huge exports yesterday, which helped to drive us early, but the reality is the bull has to continue to be fed, and unless there's new money that comes to the trough today to try and drive this thing back up, it just feels like to me that the market's a little bit tired right now, and it's ready to see some profits come back out and people gear up for the next leg up, which I think happens down the road. I still think they'll come back in and buy this corn in particular back and run it higher, and as they do so, the beans are going to try and keep up. And thereby, more than likely, we'll see beans go back up for new highs also, is what I think happens.
Where's the buying opportunity for corn then?
I think corn anywhere in the 480s, as you get down, oh, like 85 or thereabouts, I think I'd start to build a long call position is probably what I would do. Use the March option and try and buy some March call options to be in position for that next leg up. And I'm actually using March options against my new crop just because the options for new crop, December or November, are so outrageously priced. Granted, you're protecting a huge dollar figure, but I think that it's just too expensive for me, so I step in here and use the March as short-term type protection.
Turn your attention over to CME Livestock. What do you see there today?
Well, the hog market has kind of become somewhat like the grain market. It's fairly erratic. I do believe that ultimately the livestock market is where our next major bull move comes in, because we're starting to see liquidation. Now, it's going to take some time to work through that, and we're going to continue to see big kills out here on the livestock side. On the day-to-day, I think you follow through with the buying that started yesterday, and we'll see another update here and push this thing just a little bit higher yet. I still look for these June hogs to get up around the $78 mark before I'm in any hurry to get something sold, and probably would not sell much beyond the June-July slot, because I think after that we start to see the kill numbers drop back a little bit. Demand has been very active from the Chinese side, and I think it will continue to be active from the Chinese side up and through the Olympics.
Thank you much.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.